Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to part two of our chat with Simon Amstel. If you haven't listened to part one, you know what to do. I'm not going to tell you. Okay, go back to the feed and find part one. Here it is. Here's part two. One of the things I've always felt about you...
What have you felt about me, Chris?
Well, I'll give you a list. I actually, interestingly, you can try these on for size, Simon. You can tell me what you think. Mm-hmm. I always feel like you're sort of trying to, with whatever you do, I think you've actually said this, so this is not an insight, but like trying to find the truth in something. Yeah. Like sort of, what's actually going on here?
Yeah.
But perhaps also the thing that has never occurred to me till now, but since you ask, is that I feel like perhaps I used to think of you as someone very cynical, and now I feel like that you've completely changed and gone through that, and actually it's the opposite. If we're talking about that ayahuasca ceremony, you can't be cynical in that.
No, you can't. I actually wasn't ever cynical. I was actually really always after the truth, even when I was poking fun at pop stars and stuff. What I found cynical were TV shows where everyone was like pretending to be friends and just saying like complimentary things to each other. I just found that really disgusting. I mean, I'm appreciating it now from you. But on other shows, I would think this is just... I just think, oh, this is horrible. And I felt like we were getting to the truth by saying the unsayable, cheeky thing.
Yes.
I think there's a sort of... I think there's a continuity with the stand-up and with the films and all the... It's always... I'm always like, what's going on with these... people, what's really happening here, and what's wrong with me? What's really going? What's really underneath?
But do you think the difference is that you originally, when you were doing like, you know, we're talking about poking fun of pop stars, talking about pop world, like you were extremely young, by the way, and I was being way more of an asshole at that age. So I'm not coming to you for reparations, but like, is it you weren't putting yourself in it, whereas now, all this way down the line, you're actually completely putting your vulnerability and yourself in the center.
That's true. Yeah. That's definitely true. And it's much more fulfilling and creatively exciting. What I get out of what I'm up to now is, as I was saying earlier, I figure out what's wrong with me, and then I get to be kind of reborn as this freer, more agile, bendy person.
I found in life, every time you share something about yourself that you think is abhorrent or disgusting, or you know, everybody comes back going, oh my god, I have that too, and they connect with you because you've allowed yourself to be vulnerable.
Yeah, the truth sets you free every time. Even when you think it's going to imprison you, it sets you free.
When I think about comedy and stand-up and stuff, I really wanted to ask you actually about if there feels like, as a performer, like there's a big shift from the kind of Hannah Gadsbyfication of comedy, which is like, you know, I know that she wasn't the first, but that kind of thing where she says something that lands at the end in this massive way. And is there sort of chatter about that in like, this is, you know, the landscape's changed when you're having to think of a show?
There was definitely a lot of talk about that show, and I watched it and was just stunned by it. I didn't really know what to do after it finished. And we hung out a bit in New York. We were both doing our shows there together when I was having that crisis. And I think she's really brilliant. What did happen? I'm wondering. I think there were a lot of sort of comedians were a bit annoyed and decided that, well, that wasn't comedy. There was a lot of like, well, that wasn't comedy. That was a theatre piece.
Yes.
I think once the dust settled, probably everyone just carried on doing what they'd been doing. Something she seemed to be saying in that special, and it might have just been for that special, was that she was being re-traumatized by the comedy that she was doing. Mm. And I've always felt I'm letting go of trauma by telling the truth and revealing everything I can about myself on stage.
Mm.
I feel like I'm spending time with that pain and I'm making fun of it in a playful, loving way. I don't feel like I'm hurting myself. I feel like I'm freeing myself.
Mm.
I think she was saying that in relation to jokes that were kind of self-deprecating slash maybe homophobic. And I suppose yes. I've never really... there wasn't a stage in my career where I was doing those kind of jokes. Maybe like the first 6 months when I like first came out and started doing stand-up again, some of those jokes, because I was new and I was like trying to figure out how to be funny, some of those jokes maybe were a bit cheap. And after that, once I realized how to be funny as myself, it helps me integrate everything in my life. It helps me understand who I am and it frees me of shame. It seems to free the audience in some way. And yeah, I love doing it. There's never a point where I feel worse after doing a show. I always feel much better.
Yeah, it's really fascinating that, you know, I think it's really interesting with performing as well, because all this thing we're talking about is also linked to you paying your bills and putting food on the table. You know, you're not out there for fun. You're there because it's your job. Yes, you're there to make people laugh, but it's different. And so why you find yourself in these kind of routines or whatever that are working, but ostensibly what's it doing to you?
Yeah. Yeah. As you were talking about money, that I occurred to me that I'd been very lucky and that I had like another job that was quite well paid. And so the stand up never felt like something I like had to do for money. Mm. It felt like a sort of arty hobby for a long time.
Mm, interesting.
But the great thing about comedy, I think, is that if you don't pander to what the audience is maybe expecting of you, you can decide what's funny. And so certainly with like gay stuff, like the audience in front of you might well have just been laughing. I mean, this is many years ago when I was doing like the club circuit, might have just been laughing at some pretty horrific jokes at our expense. And then you go on after. And it's the same, and now you've got to make these people laugh, these these morons. And you can either get angry, and I would get quite angry, and I would like attack the comedian that had just been on, which was quite fun.
Wow. But
you can also like, you can be funnier. And I did a similar thing with, I did a film called Carnage. I directed this film called Carnage, which was about a sort of utopian vegan future where the planet had been saved because everyone finally converted to a plant-based diet. Now, I feel what we did with that film in part was make it so the vegans weren't the punchline anymore. But I think what we managed to do was to make the carnists the punchline, to make their actions absurd and ridiculous and horrific. And that's the power of comedy. That's you can do that. You can shift people's perspectives on stuff. That's really thrilling, I think.
Yeah. That's so funny you say that, because we, a long time ago, interviewed Julian Clary, and he said that, you know, obviously he was doing comedy in a very different time. And he said he used to straight away, when he was on stage, he would get someone up from the audience, like I don't know if it was specifically he always picked a straight woman, but it was a woman and he would empty her handbag and he would go through how absurd all the stuff in her handbag was, because he said he wanted to make sure, he wanted to point out that, like, I'm not the absurd one here, you are, and sort of set the scene for that, the world that will be now over the next hour type thing, you know, like that's what's going to happen, which is really fascinating.
That's great. Yeah, I've just been doing, there's a bit in this new show about just men in general, just like, and it's straight men, I suppose, but it's, you know, that masculinity that men feel they have to wear.
Mm.
And it's so much fun doing it, because you sort of, you know, you sort of see all these men in the audience sort of not really feeling comfortable to laugh, but then laughing. And it's such a twist on feeling like the weirdo yourself and feeling like you have to fit into their world to be on stage and say, "You're all lunatics. What are you doing? Wouldn't you rather be me?"
But it is funny, you know, because I remember years ago, like 10, 15 years ago, a really good friend of mine saying to me, "I just don't like straight people. I just don't want to hang out with straight people." And I was like...
I had a boyfriend who had that.
Really?
Yeah. He was like, "I can't hang out with straight people. I did enough of that at school." That's what he said. Yeah, I think the way to feel right is compassion. So to know that their lives are really hard. I know it's a strange thing to think about, because obviously our lives are much harder, obviously, right? Obviously. But it's very difficult. There's a lot of insecurity. They're really lost, fragile creatures.
Mm.
We know this because of how hard it's been to sell them moisturizer. There was never a point where advertisers felt they could just say, "Hey guys, you know how women have skin? Here you go."
Yeah, they had to put it in like a toolbox packaging.
Yes. I mean, look at the brands. Like, it's Man Cave, Bulldog. I saw something the other day called a hydrating bro mask.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's what it takes. That's what it takes to make these guys feel comfortable.
But what is that? To delve a little deeper into that, what is that? What is going on? What is so hard for them? Because you're right.
I think the big thing is it's very important that it's clear that I'm a man. So there's all this energy put into I'm a man. So there's very little energy to express anything other than that masculinity. And I was thinking about, you know how like on stag do's, like men often put the groom in a dress in some kind of shaming ritual. And I don't think they even know why they're doing that. I don't think they know what's going on there. It's like, "Come on, Josh, just put the dress on. Please just put the dress on. Why do you want me to do this? Because we love you, but we don't know how to say it. Please, our fathers didn't hug us, Josh." "All right, I'll put the dress on. Thank you. Now you can suck our dicks." I mean, I've never been on a stag do, but I imagine.
Like you say, they're all trying to be a man.
And I was doing that, you know, when I came out. My thing was like, okay, I'm gay. I was like insistent with myself and everyone around me that I was going to tell the truth about who I was. But I was going to be as manly a homo as I could possibly be, which is quite difficult because look at me. So I know that feeling. I know what that is. And it's fun to poke fun at, certainly in a stand-up show.
It's moving from I'm gay, but I'm not ... to I'm gay, full stop.
Yeah, full stop.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And compassion, you know, I think is really the sort of underlying theme here in actually every single thing we've spoken about, because we're talking about having compassion for others rather than getting irritated with them. We're talking about actually having compassion for your younger self. What you're talking about in the ayahuasca thing, it's about compassion for your younger self, right?
Yeah.
Often the thing that's unsaid is I don't think there's anyone on planet Earth who actually feels that they can deliver on this macho ideal. But you're slightly in more trouble if you're closer to it it visually and sexuality wise you can kind of be adjacent to it and you're sort of it, and so therefore, whereas actually the refreshing thing is if you're not anything like it, if you turn up at school and haven't got a clue how to do anything the boys do, weirdly you are let out of all of that crap for 18 years.
I feel very grateful that I at the secondary school I went to, there was an annual school musical. And so there was like a place for kids like me who could like dress up and sing and stuff.
Yes.
And this brilliant teacher called Mr. Mills gave that to us. And I went back to the school quite recently, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, for the last ever show that Mr. Mills was directing.
Oh, wow.
And I was asked to like do a speech after the show, and I couldn't stop crying during this speech. I was just so happy for all the children on this stage that they had somewhere where they could express themselves. Yeah, it was quite a thing. And also, the other great thing about it was the guy who'd, when I was, 14 or 15, I'd played Pharaoh in Joseph and really fancied, although obviously could never do anything about it. Thank you very much. Really fancied Joseph, the boy who played Joseph.
Yeah.
And he turned up also at the last ever show of Mr. Mills. And I got to say on that school stage that I remembered being on that stage, being in Joseph and having very confusing feelings for the boy playing Joseph. And I saw him there like smiling, and it was like such a wonderful healing thing to be able to be there, whatever it is, 25 years later or something, and say the thing to the boy that I couldn't even think at the time because it was so scary.
Yes. Yeah,
that was really fun.
That's extraordinary. Oh. And so where's he at in his life now?
He's probably married and all that sort of stuff, you know. He's just living a lovely life with a woman.
Would say he's straight.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There wasn't a dash to the front up to the lectern. I was always you.
No, but he was very pleased. I think he was very pleased to hear about it.
Really?
So that was nice. Yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah, it was sort of... It was kind of magical. And I didn't fancy him anymore. So that was another thing. It was like, oh, look, time just goes by and those feelings change, obviously. And
Well, listen, that helps, doesn't it? You've been very honest in the past about saying that you were always drawn to people much younger than you. And you felt that actually you were kind of looking for a younger version of yourself. And that's what drew you to people. Is that right?
It was that I was trying to save the 18-year-old in me who wasn't saved.
And what were they being saved from?
Somebody should have reached out a hand to me when I was younger and said, you're all right. This is fine. You're going to have a lovely time. Don't worry about any of this. And I suppose because there's that wound there within me, and I obviously at the time wasn't conscious that it was my wound, I would see... you know, what appeared to be vulnerable looking. I mean, vulnerable in terms of like just maybe short-sighted and skinny. And and I would be very drawn to the look of somebody who looked like they might need help.
Right.
It was a really weird combination of being sexually attracted to somebody, but also really wanting to just like hug them and tell them they were all right. And I would, I would always, I mean, the last person that I did this with, It got so obvious. He had glasses. He was very skinny, and he had curly hair, and he had depression. And I thought, just go to your own therapist and talk about yourself. Yeah, my type for a very long time was somebody who had got their jumper stuck over their head. That's what I was into. But I suppose in terms of like my memories of being attracted to people. Gosh, Leonardo DiCaprio is an obvious. I can't remember fancying anyone before Leonardo DiCaprio arrived in my life.
In Titanic or What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Oh, what happened? I think I watched Romeo and Juliet and then went backwards to the I went to the video store and started watching everything that he'd ever been in. And got very worried at some point because I thought, there's going to be a record of this. The video shop are going to know something's up.
That's the thing. It's like you're constantly trying to cover your tracks for literally just stuff that is so natural. It's such a weird, weird thing, isn't it?
Here's how good I was at covering my tracks when I was at school. I did media studies as an A-level, and that's not me covering my tracks.
And look what I went into. No one will know.
One of the projects was design a radio station for a specific audience. And I created a whole gay radio station because I thought if I was gay and trying to hide it, I would never create a gay radio station. How crazy is that?
I get it though. Like, because you overthink it, because it's really important. It's really important to throw people off the scent.
Yeah. So it was so mad because I was like, I went and like bought a copy of Gay Times magazine for research. And I think I ended up like copying out an interview that Peter Tatchell had done, and somebody played Peter Tatchell and I played the interviewer, and we sort of did a radio version of that interview. And so crazy. Nobody said anything, you know, nobody. It was really, I mean, what a lovely thing, because all the teachers must have known what was going on, I suppose, and nobody. Oh, is it good that they didn't say anything? Well, legally, they couldn't say anything. So
they were literally blocked.
They were unable to help.
What were you like when you went up to the counter with it? Did you try and sort of look studious and quizzical? Like, just pop a bit of research on the counter here.
God, I can't remember. I can remember buying Attitude magazine for real, you know, in secret. That was a terrifying thing. I remember, I think it was maybe the first thing that I did once I learned to drive. Once I was able to drive, I maybe after a party at some point, like very late at night, went to 7-Eleven and bought Attitude magazine with Adam Ricketts' oily body on the cover.
That's everybody's, like, of our age group. That's everybody's, you know, landmark Attitude cover. It's so funny you say that. Yeah. That's hysterical.
And then I met him. My first job on TV was presenting this kids' channel. Sorry, why can't I speak anymore? It's because Adam Ricketts come up. I was presenting on Nickelodeon, the kids' channel, and ended up interviewing him at some sort of pop, like, road show or something that he was doing. That can't be a pop road show. That sounds like it's from the 70s. What was it? I don't know what it was. Anyway, I ended up interviewing him about that first single that he released, Breathe. Do you remember that song, Breathe?
He was in like a glass cupboard or something, wasn't he?
Exactly. It was in like a glass box, and he's naked in the box. And I got to like be quite... Yeah. I mean, I wasn't out at this point, but I got to be quite sort of flirty and teasy with him. And he was saying it wasn't a glass box, that it was some kind of machine that had, like, birthed him from some... I was like, it's a glass box and we can see your nipples. It was so nice to sort of shout the word nipples at this boy that I'd been looking at. Oh, God. Exhausting, isn't it, talking about Adam Rickett in 2021?
Was he gay?
No.
A pin-up. Yeah. He was just playing with us.
Yeah, that's what it used to be. That's all we used to have. What we used to have to do was like get excited about some random straight guy who was in Coronation Street, and now we have Lil Nas X and Ollie Alexander, and like there are like we have queer heroes now in the pop world who are like fully free in a way that pop stars struggled to be in the past. It's been a major transformation. What a joy, right?
It is such a joy, and the amount of good work that does is just beyond extraordinary. And less people are going to have to fly to Peru and have an ayahuasca therapy as a result. Yes.
And I think it's healing for us as well. I watched the most recent Lil Nas X performance on Saturday Night Live and applauded on my own in the room afterwards. I mean, that he was able to do that.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I love him.
Me too.
And it's unapologetic. That was like the key thing. Mm. He's not doing what I felt I needed to do when I was that age, which was like just sort of make being gay not that big a deal. It's like, but you know, guys, it's like, come on, I'm more interesting than just that. And he's like, actually, this is really bloody interesting.
That's I knew that would be fun. I didn't realise how much I would laugh. He just is mischief and thoughtfulness all rolled into one. Love him. Thank you so much, Simon, for taking the time to come and chat to us. It's always a pleasure. I hope you'll be back. Maybe on the next tour. Maybe on the next book. Maybe on the next venture. There'll always be something new with Simon. That's the thing about him. He's always inventing and creating and doing something wonderfully new and clever. I want to know what you thought of it, so you've got to get in touch. It's hello@homosapienspodcast.com or @homosapiens on Instagram. If you want to write to us there, please do. We'll be reading them out. And what I would also like you to do, if you want to support the Albert Kennedy Trust, is go and buy a Homo Sapiens t-shirt from everpress.com/Homo Sapiens. And what else do I want you to do? Let me think. Oh, you can follow us on Facebook at Homo Sapiens Podcast on Facebook. Funny beeping noise. What was that? Weirdly, it sounded like a phone beeping, getting a message. My phone's next to me and I'm in the house by myself. Does that make me paranoid? Yes. Listeners, if I haven't been killed by an axe murderer by the time we get to next week's episode, may I ask you to tune in next week where we'll have more delights, more fun and games. Cannot wait for you to hear it all. Loads of love. Thanks for listening. Bye now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Powered by Spirit Studios.